Thank you, choir and orchestra. Hey, if you have your Bibles today, I want you to turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. When I was growing up, Christmas was pretty simple. It just seemed like all the years I was growing up that everything was pretty standard. We had Christmas decorations that we would put up in our home. There'd be Christmas decorations in the neighborhood. There'd be Christmas decorations in the stores. Everybody had their Christmas trees, and they'd decorate their Christmas trees. You could go into the stores, and people would say Merry Christmas, and you would be buying Christmas gifts. And then there would be Christmas carolers, and they would come, and they would sing. And when you go to school, especially in elementary school, we would sing Christmas carols. And then there was always the school Christmas play that we'd be involved in. And so it was kind of pretty simple. You celebrated because Jesus was born, and people gave gifts, and people received gifts, and everybody seemed to like that. Well, today, in 2007, there seems to be a whole lot more confusion about Christmas than there was when I was growing up. And so the title of the message is Christmas Confusion. In today's society, we are bombarded with of what is going to, either, I guess, going to be politically correct. And the question is, do you say Happy Holidays or do you say Merry Christmas? We never really dealt with that when I was growing up. But now it is, well, we send out our catalogs and we have our holiday gifts. We don't have Christmas gifts, we have holiday gifts. And we have holiday trees, because some don't want to call them Christmas trees. We've told our employees in the store to tell people Happy Holidays. We don't want to offend anybody and say Merry Christmas. And we've got all these holiday stuff, and yet we're scared to call it Christmas. That's a little confusing for people. And then they're saying, well, okay, if you're going to do the Christmas thing, then call it Xmas, okay? And we'll let you do Xmas, but don't call it Christmas. That just causes me a little bit of confusion. Now, I've got a nativity scene. Can I put it up or not put it up? Well, I'll tell you, if it's government property, I don't think we should put them over there. Well, how about a public square? Well, I don't know about a public square. I don't think we need to put that nativity stuff over there. That's confusing. Don't know when I'm supposed to put one up, when I'm not supposed to put one up. Hey, if you go into a school, can you sing a Christmas carol? I don't know about that. Don't think we're supposed to be doing that church stuff in school over here. And so there's a lot of confusion about Christmas. Do you ever feel that way? I mean, once December starts and all the Christmas stuff starts happening, you just began to get bombarded with confusion over Christmas. But I got to be honest with you, it's not just the Christmas term itself that causes confusion. It's even the buying of Christmas gifts is more confusing today, I think, than it's ever been. Now, part of that is because from a technology standpoint, we are just moving at warp speed. Things change constantly. There was a phrase that was turned a few years ago called the information superhighway. Well, I at times feel like that I'm driving a Yugo on the information superhighway, and that everybody is just flying by me, and I'm just trying to hang on or either catch up. And when you go to buy something, it's not just simple anymore just to purchase something. For Christmas, for Janice, I said, she's always talked about, says, I want to get an upgraded of a camera. And she said, I remember back when we were married, first got married, I had a 35-millimeter camera. And those are great. Get that 35-millimeter, adjust the lens, know what you're doing, take the shots. She said, I'd like to get one of those, and now I think you're digital, right? So sure enough, we go to a camera place and say, hey, you're looking for like a 35-millimeter digital camera. Whoa, brother. They sat down, showed us these different models. And we're looking at all the buttons that they've got and all the screens, and this will do that and this will do this. And then this lady was phenomenal that was explaining it to us, but she was just flying. And you got all of these things to go with the camera. And then you, well, you got two lenses again. This lens plus another lens. Add that to it. It's a great package. Oh, okay. Okay. So I got to get that lens too. Yes. Oh, hey. And now you know you got to get a memory card for this. No, I didn't know that. Well, okay. I guess I want a memory card. What, you want a 1 gig or 2 gig? Well, what's the gig? You know? And how much do I get with this? Oh, this many pictures. And this one, you get this many pictures. Okay. I guess I'll go with that one. Have you got that USB port, that plug in so that you can be able to see the pictures on the computer? No, I need one of those. Oh, yeah. You got to get one of those. Okay, so I got to get a USB plug to put in over here. Okay, I think I've got that. So got to get the memory cards, got to get the USB plug in. But hey, wouldn't you love to see those pictures right away? I need to get your printer. I need to get a special printer. Yeah, I get a special printer for that. So you sure? Oh, yeah, you get that. You can get 4x6s. It'll print out on that. Oh, got to get special paper. Oh, got to get paper for that too. Okay, so I got to get the paper, got to get the printer, and I got to get the USB card. And I just want a camera, okay? Oh, but all this is so important. And then you get a nice little carrying case, which we appreciated that, and then as they're putting it all in there, then they say, and here's a video for you to watch about photography, so you can learn more about photography, okay? And here's another video for you to watch how to use your camera, okay? And guess what? We have classes for free that'll teach you how to use the camera. Here's a tear-off. You give them this, you can get in the class for free. You got everything? I walked out in a daze. I was lost. All I wanted was a camera for my wife, okay? Now, she was in there with me, so it's not a surprise, like I've just messed it up. All of a sudden, you're sitting there, and you're saying, this is a little confusing. It's a little bit confusing with all of Christmas. I did read a story about a department store that had quite a problem. They had 24 Elvis impersonators show up for their big Christmas sale. The head of the store called the temp agency that sent the 24 Elvises, and he shouted, I said elves, not Elvis. Confusion on Christmas. I want you to watch a short video of a guy that's ranting about Christmas and about some of the confusion. Are you ready, Brian?
Yeah, ho, 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 it's me again, just in time for the holiday season. You like the hat? Yeah, whatever. Anyway, Mary, it's not politically correct to say Christmas anymore. By the way, what'd you get? Did you make your list? What do you want? Or what are you expecting? Did you take the kids to the make-believe little, to the little North Pole lad in the little local mall, huh? Did you sit them on Santa's lap? Did you put them on Santa's lap? Did you get a Polaroid of it? A $40 Polaroid of it? That's money well spent. There'll be a coaster in no time. What about the Xmas cards? Xmas cards, huh? Did you send those out yet? I don't think you did, because I haven't. And the family portrait? The family portrait that you send out to everyone that everybody flips by just to find the cash? Oh, or the tree? Is the tree up? Are the lights up? Is your blood pressure up? Hey, did you set up one of the 946 available nativity scenes yet? Because my personal favorite is the one with the new action figure baby Jesus. Hey, you just flip the lever in the back, and it reaches up to the Magi, the one with the gold. It grabs the gold. It grabs the gold. Very popular in the OC. Oh, don't say the OC at me. Don't say the OC at me. No. Wait, I'm not even finished. No. Hold on a second. Did you get that special gift for that special someone? Will they like you more now? Will you like them more if they get you what you want, huh? Huh? Does it come with batteries? Does it come in pieces? Does it come with some assembly required? Did you get the turkey, the ham, the dressing, the yam, green eggs, and yam? My yam. Did you get that? Huh? Did you switch to a Mac? Did you keep the receipt? Wait a second. Am I asking the right questions at all? What am I even doing? Am I the only human in the whole planet now that understands what Christmas is really about? It's not about presents. It's not about gifts. It's not about money. It's not about trees. No, come on, people. Christmas is about... Christmas season. Well, it doesn't really matter because Santa Claus is coming down the chimney any second now, and I've even set out all the cookies for him. So we'll have to get to the real meaning of Christmas when I can get a rebate for it. For now, have a very merry, happy holidays.
Confusion with Christmas. And you see, my first thought is it's not supposed to be that way, but you know, the more I thought about it, that first Christmas was kind of confusing. First Christmas was full of lots of confusion. Here you've got Mary and Joseph, right? She's over 8 months pregnant, and they're living there in Nazareth, and she's got the nursery all set up, ready for the baby to be born, and then they get this notice from the government that they've got to take a census over in Bethlehem, which is about 70 miles away, and the only way to get there is either walking or taking a donkey, and so all of a sudden, they've got to travel 70 miles while she is great with child, getting ready to have a baby. This was not good timing whatsoever. And then even as they come into town, naturally Joseph didn't make any reservations. And when he gets there, there's no room in the inns anywhere. And so since there is no room, the only place they can put them is in a cave, sort of a stable area for animals. And while she's there is when she gives birth to this baby. And then when she gives birth to this baby, the only place she can place this baby, Jesus, is in a feeding trough. That's a little bit of confusion going on there. And how about the wise men? You know, these men saw this great star and they've been studying the heavens. And when they saw this great star, they believed that when they saw a great star like that, it meant that a king was to be born. And so they began to take this search to find out where this king was, who this king was. And if you ever want to know the whereabouts of a new king, the best place to go is to find an existing king and say, hey, do you know where the new king's going to be? And so they went to King Herod, and Herod got his guys together, and they began to talk, and they said, there's one that's going to be born in Bethlehem according to the Old Testament scriptures. So he said, maybe we could go over there. So Herod gives them instructions to say, why don't you check him out in Bethlehem? And if you find him, come back and let me know so I can go by and give my regards to him. And so sure enough, they find this baby. And when they find this baby, all of a sudden they are warned by the Lord and says, don't you go back to Herod. You go a different way. Because Herod's desire is to do harm to this child. Now all of a sudden there's more confusion among these three men. Because they're saying the same man who gave us directions on how to get to the child is the same man that wants to harm the child and yet may harm us in the same time. There's a little bit of confusion. And how about those shepherds? Every night we do the same thing. Every night we have the same routine. We watch the sheep, spend the night there, we get up, move on in the morning. Every night's the same thing. We're shepherds. We're into this routine. And lo and behold, this night, angel comes. And the angel comes and gives an amazing message that a child is born, the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, and it's there in Bethlehem. And it says, it'd be good for you to go see him. And if you did, this is how you'll know who he is. And it's a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he's lying in a feeding trough. You can't miss him in Bethlehem. And when the angels leave, here are these shepherds with their schedule, everything they've always been accustomed to doing, looking at each other saying, I guess we're going to go do something different. I guess we're going to go check out this child and see what the angels have said. And then they began to move. There's a little bit of confusion. How do you know where he is? Bethlehem, it's a pretty good sized little town over here. How are we going to know exactly where they are? A little bit of confusion. Now listen, all throughout Christmas, the Christmas story itself started out with some confusion. Today in 2007, it seems like we have elevated the confusion to where there's even more wondering and clamoring and uncertainty about all that Christmas is. And so it caused me this week to begin to think about what brings on all this confusion. And I'll tell you what I think it is. And it's found in Luke chapter 2. Verses 9 through 12, and it's found in the message that the angels gave to the shepherds. And I think it can be best explained by this. And if you look in Luke chapter 2, starting in the 9th verse, follow with me. It says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. I want you to hold on to those verses right there. I believe there are three words that can summarize why we have a confusion today at Christmas. And it's because of what the angel said to the shepherds. Are you ready? Three words, what you need to write down today. Number one, first word I want you to write down is the word Christ. Is the word Christ. Said in here, in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, the first word they said was, born to you is a Savior. This is one who is a deliverer. This is one who is a helper. This is one who's sent from God. He's a Savior. But then it says, Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. Now, I want you to understand that Christ is not Jesus' last name, okay? It's amazing the number of people say, it's Jesus Christ. First name Jesus, last name Christ. That's not true. If Jesus is out with Peter, James, and John at a restaurant, they don't say, I got a table for four, Christ. You know, Christ, table of four. No. He is Jesus, son of Joseph. He's Jesus of Nazareth. That's who he is. Christ is a title that was given to him. And that word Christ is a word that means Messiah. It's a word that means anointed one. During those days, you remember they would anoint kings with oil to set them apart to be the king. He's the anointed one by God. He's the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the Christ. And when they said, born to you today, a Savior, Christ the Lord, when he says Christ, he's saying, this is more than just a good teacher that's being born. This is more than just a guy that's going to work some miracles that is being born. This is Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of God. He is the one who is sent from God. You say, okay, Danny, if I accept that, then what does that mean? Then it means two things for his purpose. Number one is, one of his purposes is to reveal who God is. What Christ does is when he came, he reveals to us who God is. Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. If you want to know what God looks like, Jesus says, take a look at me and you'll see exactly what God looks like. He reveals the Father. And he revealed God's love, his grace, his mercy, his compassion, his sympathy. And you follow through the 3 years of Jesus. You listen to his teachings. You walk. You see the way that he walked and how he helped people and showed them the love of God and his grace and his mercy and his sympathy. All of these things. He reveals who God is. But now let me tell you something. Whenever God is revealed, then our sin will be exposed. You see, a revelation of who God is leads to an exposure of what our sin is. And whenever we begin to see God in his holiness, we begin to also see our own sin. Now, if I want you to hold on to Luke 2, and I want you to turn to your right to John chapter 3. Turn to your right to John 3. John 3. Now, we're familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But look at verses 17 through 20. John 3, 17 through 20 says this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe, he's condemned already. Because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. This is why people are not excited about the Christ in Christmas. Because the Christ in Christmas is the one who reveals who God is. And whenever he reveals the light of who God is, and I see the holiness of God, it exposes my own sins. See, I would much rather be living in the darkness where no one sees the evil deeds that I do. The thoughts that are in my head, the actions that I take. But you see, whenever we are revealed, when God is revealed, all of a sudden, my sins are exposed. And what he does is he reveals to us who God is, but the second thing that he does is he reconciles us to God by providing for the forgiveness of sins. He reconciles us to God by providing for the forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus didn't just come to say, hey, guys, I want to let you know that God loves you, but yet you've got a sin problem here and you're separated from him, and I don't know what to do about that. He does know what to do about it. He went to a cross and he died for us. And when he died for our sins, then he reconciles us back to God. And that's one of the great values of celebrating Christmas is we see that when Christ came into the world, he was leading from the manger all the way to the cross and to the empty tomb. Matthew 1:21 says this. Angel says, she will give birth. He's talking to Joseph. Mary will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So every time that you say the word Christmas, You got to deal with Jesus Christ. Every time you say Christmas, you got to deal with the Christ of Christmas. Now, where we got the word Christmas from is that we came from meaning Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T apostrophe S, Christ Mass. Christ Mass. And it comes from an old English word that we get our new word, Christmas, our more updated word on there. But it really was from the Catholics when they were doing a Mass for the solemnity of the Nativity of the Lord. And it was to celebrate the Nativity of the Lord, Christ Mass. And so we take Christ Mass and we put it together, and it's Christmas. And so I think that one of the words that causes so much confusion at Christmas is the fact that we have to call it Christmas and we have to say the word Christ, not in a derogatory way, but to acknowledge that Christ is Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. And so you just think about that. If you ever say Christmas, you're saying Christ. What does Christ mean? The Anointed One, the Messiah. So I'm saying that on this day, the Messiah was born. Wow. That means I've got to deal with him. And just a side note over here, even with the Xmas, you know. People say, where does the Xmas come from? Well, in the Greek New Testament, Christ, if you looked at the Greek letter, the first letter of Christ is X, chi, okay? And so in the late 16th century, when they were writing Christmas or for Christ, they put the X, and so they put Xmas, okay? Christ must. And so they weren't leaving Christ out, but the X was standing for Christ. So if we were living in the 16th century, that would be fine. But in the 21st century, we were clueless on that. In fact, you're the only people smart enough to know that today. But when people put Xmas, most of the world doesn't know that. They just say, hey, we're taking Christ out, sticking an X there. So I think we need to keep Christ in Christmas. So whenever we mention Christmas, we are called back to who he is and what he's done for us. It means that when I say Christmas, I am forced to deal with Christ and what he has done. And this is why Christmas confusion takes place, because a number of people do not want to deal with the realities of who Jesus is, and they don't want to come face to face with their sins, and they don't want to consider what demands of a relationship Jesus would involve. So it's easier to just say, let's just call it a holiday and don't call it Christmas. Because I got to deal with the first part of that word, and that's Christ. Okay? Christmas confusion. First word is Christ. Let me tell you the second word I'd like you to write down. Comprehensive. Comprehensive. If you look in verse 10. In verse 10 of Luke chapter 2. The angel says this. He says, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. It is comprehensive. It is for all the people. And what that meant is that Jesus was a Savior for all the people. It is a way for all people to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, no one can say that it doesn't include them. No one can look at you and say, well, that's good for you if you want to believe that way, but I'm not going to believe that way. It is for all people. There's only one way to get to God. There's only one way for your sins to be taken care of. And it says that Jesus, he's the Christ, the Son of God, and he's come for all people. This is good news for all people. And you can't just sit there and say, well, that's just for you Bible-thumping evangelicals. No, not at all. It is for all people. No one can push the person of Jesus Christ off, because his claim as the Son of God, his provision, payment for our sins, affects everyone. Thus, his Christmas message is comprehensive. And you see, this causes confusion, because a lot of people want to believe that there are other ways to get to God. And they will say to you, if you want Jesus to be your way, for the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Pentecostals and others, if you want that to be a way to get to God, that's okay with you. But what we would like is to realize that there may be other ways. Now, they don't know what those ways are, but they just hope that there are other ways to get to God. And Christmas is a comprehensive message that says it is a message for all people, and that there is only one way for all people to get to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. And in our world of political correctness and of tolerance and the fact that we don't want to have absolute truth, this just flies in the face. of what everyone in our society wants. And so it causes some Christmas confusion. Christmas, it's about Christ, the Savior, the Anointed One, the Messiah. It's comprehensive. It's for all the world. And let me tell you the last word that causes confusion, and that's commitment. That's commitment. Listen to what they said, the angel said in verse 10. And the angel said to them, to these shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring," what's that next word? You. I bring you. I'm looking at you guys right here. I'm looking at you shepherds. I bring you good news, okay? And then in verse 12, it says, in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David." In verse 12, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes." This is for you. Now these shepherds are standing out here, and you see that by saying this is for you, it's both comprehensive and commitment. I'll share that. I'll share how I mean by that. Comprehensive. It includes you guys. Now the shepherds were people that were considered religiously unclean. They were a despised class. They were economically depressed, and the leaders of the faith of the Jewish faith didn't even want anything to do with them. Because of their of the work that they did, they were considered religiously unclean. Nobody wanted to mess with them. These were the low-class guys. And yet the angels came to these guys. They didn't come to the up-and-ups. They came to the down-and-outs, and they said, "Listen, for unto you is born this day, for you." Hey, it includes me. Yeah, it includes me. It includes you. So it is comprehensive. Let me tell you where the commitment is. Is when, as soon as the angel says, "For you today, there's a Savior born," and then they come in verse 12 and they said, "Now let me tell you how you can find him." Now there's some guy in the back, some shepherd in the back is raising his hand and says, "Who told you we were going? You're just giving us the message and now you're giving me directions and saying, I'll tell you how you can find him. It's the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and he's lying in a manger." And now these guys are sitting back here and the angels assumed that they would go. You hear good news like that, you're going to make a commitment and go after it. And see, that's what Christmas assumes. Christmas assumes that when the Savior of the world, the Messiah, is born and he comes into this world to provide a provision for our sins and to allow me to have a right relationship with God, I want to be a part of that. I don't want to put that off. I don't want to sit there and say, "I'd like to check my other options." What other options? What do you mean you don't want to relate to the God, the Creator, the one who holds your destiny in his hands? You don't want to connect with him? It was assumed. There's nothing in the passage where they said, "Hey, listen, if you guys want to vote on it and decide you want to go to Bethlehem, let me tell you how to find it." Boy, the angel just came right up and said, "Let me tell you how you can find this child." There's a commitment that will be involved. And you know what happened in verse 16? Verse 16 says, "They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby." I mean, they got after it. And they went, they found them just like the angel said. You see, Christmas can be confusing because the Christ in Christmas means that Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God. And if that's true, then I need to make a commitment to either accept him or reject him. And there's no middle ground. I either accept or reject. And so if I don't want to face that, it's a whole lot easier for me to say, "Happy holidays," and not deal with "Merry Christmas." Those are three words, I think, that cause confusion, the Christmas confusion. Let me just give you a fourth word to walk out of here on a good note, and that's the word celebration. Word celebration. If you have your Bible still open on Luke chapter 2, listen to the celebration in this incredible announcement. Verse 10. And it says, "I bring you good news of a great joy." I love the Greek on that. It's a mega joy. Mega joy. It says, I've got you right here. Good news of mega joy for all people. That's pretty celebrative. In verse 13, after that angel spoke, it then had a heavenly host of an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying. So now this heavenly host is praising God. And look at what they said. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." God is going to give peace on those with whom he is pleased. That's good news. That's a time for celebration. And then the shepherds, they go, they check on the baby. And after they check the baby, it says they walk away. And in verse 20, it says they were glorifying and praising God. Celebration. There is in the midst of a confusion of Christmas, even on that Christmas evening, that Christmas morning, on that Christmas time, there was a little bit of confusion. Do you see the celebration? Mary, it says in verse 19, it says she treasured all these things in her heart. I mean, don't you know, she said this was a rough trip of 70 miles. This was not the place I really wanted to have this baby. And everything about this is not what I would have planned. But you know what? In the midst of all of this, I can see the incredible work of God. And here is the Son of God right here, lying in this little trough. And as everything happened, it says she treasured him in her heart. In the midst of confusion, there was celebration. Those shepherds, I mean, somebody just rocked my world. We're doing what we've always done, and now you're asking me to go do something different. And I did. And when I saw the child, they walked away, and guess what they did? They told everyone they came into contact about it, and they were glorifying and praising God. In the midst of that confusion, there was celebration. How about those wise men? When the wise men found the child, and most believe that Jesus was probably about 2 years of age at that time, and as they went to the home where he was, as soon as they saw the child, it says that they worshiped him. They worshiped him. All that journey, hundreds and hundreds of miles that they had traveled, when they found the child, they worshiped him. It was celebration, even in the midst of the confusion on there. I want to help you with this today. As we go through all of the Christmas confusion that we run into with our society and what we have today, I want to encourage you to embrace the message of Christmas, and it will turn and transform that confusion into celebration, to where we embrace the fact that it's Christ, the Savior, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Oh, it's great news that he has come to save us from our sins and to allow us to be in a right relationship with God. That is great news. That'll cause celebration. I embrace him. Comprehensive, to realize it is for all people. That's everyone. That includes you. Don't care what your background is. Don't care what it is you've done. Whatever it is that's happened in your life, it includes you. And it includes that family member. It includes that neighbor. It includes that person that you had written off, that you used to work with, that you said has done so bad, there's no way anyone, that God would have anything to do with them. It includes that person too. It includes all people. That's celebration. And then you zero in on the commitment. And to know that each person that made that commitment on that Christmas story, that they were blessed, they glorified God, and they praised God. I invite you to make that commitment to say, I want that same Christ who is now exalted Lord to be in my heart, and I want to live for him for every day of my life. And when you do that, you put all those together, then you have the celebration, and you truly have a Christmas that you can celebrate. And it won't just be a happy holiday. It'll be a Merry Christmas for certain, okay? Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Lord, we are so thankful this day of the story that has been preserved in Scripture on the coming of your Son here on earth. And Father, I pray that each one of us, that as we get wrapped up in the trappings of Christmas and even the confusion of whether it be the gifts or the plans or whatever else, that we will stop and we'll focus in on the true meaning of what Christmas is all about. And be thankful for it. And Lord, help us to realize that this is not a day that we're just to put on the calendar to circle to be a holiday, but is a day that when we look at it, it should reaffirm our commitment to you. And I pray that'll happen in our congregation. And I pray for those here today, Lord, who've never made that, and that today could be the day that you speak to their hearts and help them to take that next step of commitment. And so that today will truly be a day of celebration. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you. We take this time of invitation, we place it in your hands. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.